you, sir.
Amen. Just take a minute. I want to brag on that youth choir again. I know I've done it before, and I tell you, every time they get up there, my heart gets blessed. That adult choir, they fill your cup up. And that youth choir gets up there, and those two little angels up there start singing about how good God is. It just makes that cup overflow.
That's good.
I just feel a blessing every time I hear it, and I appreciate what Eddie and Catherine and Sister John do with those little ones. And
oh, yes. Yes, he's the Lord. Brother Jonathan, did you notice he pointed out them girls, called them little angels? He didn't talk about mine and your son over here. he'd have had to say them little devils over there. Amen. Oh my, John chapter 15 this evening. John chapter 15. Thankful for you being in your place this evening. Isn't that wonderful to hear that choir singing? It's wonderful. Thank God. John chapter 15, we're talking about the fruitful Christian life. The fruitful Christian life. As I read the words of my Savior again this week, I was reminded that I do not want to live my life in vain. What is my life? Even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. My time is short. Eternity is long. And I want to live for the name that's above every name. And I want to live for the cause that trumps every cause. And I want God in heaven to take my life. He purchased it with the price of His own blood and use it for His honor and His glory. I personally want to be used of God to keep people out of hell. I truly believe that there are two eternal destinations set for every human soul. That is either with God or without God. With God in heaven, without God in hell. And I believe that God in heaven's desire is to use our individual lives to influence the world around us. We are salt. We are light. We are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And it is God's desire for every believer in this church, every born-again person in this church, it is God's desire to use your life, to use your marriage, to use your home, teenager, to use your life, children, to use your life to bring fruit, bring forth fruit for the glory of His holy name. I believe tonight that as we hear the words of our Savior, that we can understand what it means to be fruitful as a believer. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And so as we talk about the fruitful Christian life tonight, we stated this morning that what is essential for you and I to bear fruit, what is essential for you and I to be fruitful, number one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said these words, and I want you to hear them well. Verse 5, He says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." Do you know what we can do without Christ in regards to His name? Nothing. Do you know when it comes to bearing fruit for the glory of His name, that without Him, we can do nothing? I want you to notice that
Christ is the source of fruit bearing. When it comes to us bearing fruit, how is it that you and I will bear fruit? I'll tell you how. By abiding in the source. The source of all life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't misinterpret what I preach this morning when I speak of the source of life. When I talk about a choir is not what builds a church, or a pastor is not what builds a church, or the ministries of a church is not what builds a church. What I'm trying to say to you is the source of life and the source of blessing. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's neither variableness nor shadow of turning, and why a choir is a great asset to a ministry, and why a pastor should be a great asset to a ministry. I want you to understand, when it comes to the matter of life, when it comes to the matter of power from on high, the source of life is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and the source of power is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Everything is the added blessing of the living Lord Jesus that live and abides in us. And if we're to bring forth fruit, it doesn't happen because we try to bring forth fruit. It happens as we abide in the source of all life, and that source is the Lord Jesus Christ. As I thought about this, and I thought about it all week long, because I want to bear fruit, Brother Steve, I want God to use me. But you see, you can't reach up into heaven and take his hand and twist it and say, you're going to use me this way. And when you read the scriptures, you don't even see that he wants us to do that. Do you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to abide. You know, in Matthew 6, when he taught us about what not to worry and not to care, he used the illustration of the lilies. And he said that those lilies are more glorious than Solomon and how he was arrayed. And he said, consider the lilies and how they neither toil nor spin. And I thought about this tonight. If God is going to use my life, it's not because of some human effort or some human energy that I put forward. It will come as I rest in my beloved, as I abide in the vine, the source of life, and the source of power will flow from his heart to my heart, and my life will be fruitful for the glory of God. You see, the source of fruit bearing is Jesus Christ himself. Without me, you can do nothing. Not only do we see the source of fruit bearing is the Lord Jesus, we see that the Lord Jesus is the sufficiency for fruit bearing. He is our sufficiency. Notice what he says, if you will. Abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Has anybody ever told you that churches are made up of imperfect people in love with a perfect Savior? Has anybody ever told you that? Do you know that many of us come in and we think we lack the holiness that pleases God? We lack the patience that pleases God. We lack the goodness that pleases God. We look at Christ, our Savior, who is our example, and we say we could never be like him. He don't ever think a cross thought, and he never says a cross word. He is holy, he is pure, he is perfect. And we simply can't live up to his standard. That is exactly why he's came to live inside of us. You see, where I'm not holy, he is holy. And as I abide in him, his holiness is transferred from him to me. When I'm not patient, and oftentimes I'm not, he is patient. And so as I abide in him, he enables me to possess my soul with patience. I'm saying, when I lack comeliness and seemliness, when I lack the patience or the grace that I need, what is amazing is I don't go out and try to be more loving and try to be more more patient and try to be more forgiving. I need to abide in Christ. He's the vine, and from him holiness comes, and from him love comes, and from him forgiveness comes. He is everything I'm not. He's everything I need. When it comes to bearing fruit, all it takes is us to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that oftentimes we think of our insufficiencies. What about his all-sufficiency? 2 Corinthians in chapter number 3, in verse 5, in verse 6, Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Do you know God has no hot dogs in his kingdom? How in the world are you going to get to thinking too much of yourself when you get a proper estimation of who he is? Think about it. You think, boy, I sure am something. Are you? Do you remember when you were floundering and flailing, lost without God Almighty? No hope of heaven, and he came to you? What had happened had he not came to you? You see, I want you to understand when the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples and teaching about the life that he had and the life that he was going to share and the life that he was going to give, as he was trying to explain to them how their relationship would work together, how that he's the vine, that they're the branches. They don't try to be like him. They abide in him, and he's really good at being who he is. And as he abides in you and you abide in him, you take on his image, you take on his nature, you take on his character, you take on his likeness. And I'm telling you, just like he set the world on fire when he was here, when he's having his way in your heart and having his way in your life, and the fruit of his spirit's been produced in you and produced through you, you can write it down. Our God, who is the source of fruit bearing, is sufficient for us to bear fruit, and all we need to do is abide in Christ to be like the Lord and bear fruit for his glory and honor. We see the source of fruit bearing is Christ. The sufficiency for fruit bearing is Christ. And would you write this down nextly? The surety of fruit bearing is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice quickly the progression that Jesus relates to his disciples as he talks to them about bearing fruit. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Notice in verse 2, two words. As we abide in him, we're going to bring forth fruit. As we undergo purging from our heavenly Father, notice that Jesus says at the end of the verse that it may bring forth what? More fruit. If you would, please look with me in verse number 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, watch the next two words, much fruit. So Christ said, as you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bring forth fruit. As my Father purges you, you will bring forth more fruit. As you remain in me, you will bring forth much fruit. Look what he says in verse number 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Notice that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us as we abide in him and he abides in us, we'll bring forth fruit. We'll bring forth more fruit. We'll bring forth much fruit. And according to verse number 16, we'll bring forth fruit that remains. Just as past week, we put a man in the ground that had lived his life long for the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you, we buried the man, but his ministry lives on, and right now his works do follow him. Look around in the church tonight. We buried Pastor Hound last year, but his works do follow him. Look, I just want you to know, as you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has ordained you. Christ has chosen you. This is his will for your life. Abide in him. He will abide in you. He is the surety for fruit bearing. As you abide in Christ, you will bring forth fruit that remains to the glory of God in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want God to use my life to bring forth much fruit that will remain to the glory of his holy name. When it comes to the matter of fruit bearing, Christ is essential. Christ is the source of fruit bearing. Christ is the sufficiency for fruit bearing. Christ is the surety of fruit bearing. This morning, I waded down some fine lines. I believe I have to. Trying to explain and reason with you. I truly believe this evening as I speak to you that if you're going to bring forth fruit, it'll be because you abide in Christ. And I'd like you to write this down, if you would, if you don't mind. Fruit bearing in the Christian life is organic, not synthetic. Fruit bearing in the Christian life is organic, not synthetic. That means this, it's not something that I can take and produce whenever I want. It means I must truly be abiding in Christ or I am not bringing forth fruit. You can't fake it. You just can't fake it. Can I ask y'all a question? And I want you to just be patient with me. This is to provoke thought and to increase learning. If you had a church and Jesus was the only thing being offered, how many people in this room do you think would believe that Jesus is enough? Jesus is enough. But I want you to hear me. By the way we project what goes on, speaking as pastors now, we are often telling our congregation that God is good, but we're here to help Him. No, He helps me, I'm here to labor under His lordship. Amen. Big difference, big difference. I really believe that had God never let me be born, had He never had it in His mind to put me on this planet, He'd have kept running just fine. His church would have ran on. His gospel truth would have ran on. I really believe if Jesus Christ wasn't extended His... Oh, son, I feel preaching coming on. I really believe that if Jesus Christ would have never extended His church in the 21st century, that He would have done okay building it without us. You say, why would you make that statement? Because I'm constantly hearing people say, we know what you don't know. We have what you don't have and we can do what you can't do. Really? I've read the scripture. If you have Christ, you have all. And if you have all, you can't add anything to it. And everything that we have and we have to offer is extension of who He is and how He blesses this church. It is not vice versa. Raise your hand if that makes sense. In other words, we come here because the Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine. He's the source of eternal life. He's the source of all life. If our church services ought to be lively, it'll be because there's a church that is abiding in Christ and it pleases the Lord to manifest His presence, to make known His power. That's not something we can drum up. It's not something we can produce, but we can humble ourselves to the living vine and we can say, Lord, thine is the power and thine is the glory. Power belongs to you. You said not by might, but nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And we can trust the Lord. We can take God at His word and we can let God show this world and show our generation that He's still God and can do the impossible in our generation. He didn't need me. He's made me a part of what He's doing, not vice versa. I'm on the cutting edge because I'm in Jesus Christ. I'm on top of it because I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many are with me this evening? Life is found in the vine. It's not found in anything but the vine. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You know how I interpret that, Miss Rebecca? You take Jesus out of this church tonight, we may still have what's called a church, but we won't be doing anything that matters. And we're so used to a concert and a chat on Sunday morning, that just saying those words shocked people. Because somewhere along the line we said, God, let us show you what we can do. We don't need to show him what we can do. We need him to show us what he can do. How many are with me? I just really believe tonight that very few people in this generation that are claiming Christ know him. Know him like he is. I got a 2-volume set in my library, and the title of that 2-volume set is They Did Know Their God. Walking with God is a thing of the past. Who's ever heard of such? It's live our lives for ourselves, rolling on Sunday, and get a little hallelujah moment happening to make ourselves feel good and go on the next week and repeat the same thing on Sunday and wonder how come we're really going insane. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God in heaven didn't call me here to beat the air. God in heaven didn't call me here to spin my wheels. God in heaven's on the move. He's fixing to step off his throne. He's fixing to come for his kids. All games are going to be over. I want you to know something tonight too. This will be the most comfortable setting you're ever in. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. You said, "Well, Justin, you preach heaven sweet, hell hot, and Christ is the only way. You're going to make people uncomfortable." I want you to understand something. I know every person that I stand before and I share the word of life to, you are going to stand before the living God. And I want you to know what's going on down here barely reflects what you're going to see when you stare in the eyes whose eyes are as a flaming fire. I want you to know when you hear his voice as the sound of many waters, it is going to be a holy scene. It's going to be an awful scene, and it's not going to be tip-tap-toe. I'm telling you, it is a real matter, and I want you to be ready when you stand before the living God to know that it is an awful and a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God. God is still real. I don't care if this generation has sucked his power, if this generation has decided to do their own thing. It really doesn't make any difference. Christ is still the vine. We are still the branches. As we abide in him, we will bring forth much fruit that will remain and glorify our Heavenly Father's name. I'm convinced of these things in my heart. Christ is essential for fruit bearing. Most of us would do well if we stole along with Christ and let him read into our lives everything he wants and read out of our lives everything he wants. I said to our Sunday school class this morning, I'm fighting a 2-pronged battle. The world is doing a wonderful job at going crazy. Is everybody still with me tonight? Man, I'm telling you, when I come to church, I felt loaded for bear forever walked in. The church instead of calling the world to repentance is going crazy with the world. You know, just the other day, the Methodist. Do y'all know who the founder of Methodism was? I dare say, Brother Jonathan, we could have him in the pulpit tonight and handle it. Be honest with you. Y'all be like, get Justin back. We need him back. We need somebody to take it easy. Somebody say amen. John Wesley. Do you know we celebrate John Wesley. Do you know that they ran him out of the church? That they ran him out of half the churches in England? How many of you know that? How many of you know that that man spent most of his time in the open air because they would not even handle or have him in the pulpit of their churches? You say, well, what minor issues was he preaching? Well, he was preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was preaching heaven sweet, hell hot. He wasn't straining at gnats and swallow camels, friend. They couldn't handle just basic gospel preaching. They couldn't handle basic ecclesiology. Why? They had married themselves to the state. The state was a representation of the world. And somebody that would say, come out from among them and be a separate was like John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness, that life will soon be over. But while I'm here, I want the world to know that there there is still a God that we've got a head-on collision with, and somebody's got to represent him and let the world know that he's good, he's gracious, he's merciful, and he's loving, but he's still holy, he's still righteous, and it doesn't matter what our culture does, he's still Christ. We must abide in him if we're to bring forth much fruit that remains. Methodism. John Wesley. Just the other day, the Methodist movement, Brother Scott, was this close to completely fragmenting. Do you know why? Because those in authority and position inside their organization wanted to say that it was okay to have homosexuality as an accepted practice in the church. There is a politician right now running for president. He is a homosexual, and he is, in his words, a committed Christian. Now, I'm sure you're expecting me to be real mean about that. I'm not. I pity the man. And I pity the man that he calls preacher. And I pity the church he attends to, because they're liars. They're believing a lie. They're not believing the truth. They're believing a lie. And I want you to know right now, the truth may shock you and the truth may really move you, but the truth is what we need in this hour. And God is still true. And if you want to know life from above in your life, if you want to know life from above in your marriage, in your home, in this church, it will not be because we reinvent God or the gospel or the church, but it will be because we abide in Christ and his life abides in us. We will bring forth much fruit that remains if we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I understand the culture won't run in front of our church with pom-poms and cheer us on, but I've never looked for their appeal or their applause. I want Jesus Christ standing at the end of my life saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to please him who's called me to be a soldier. I want to please him who's given me eternal life. I want to put my hand to the plow and not look back. I'm saying tonight, if we're going to bear fruit that remains, we must abide in Christ. He is essential. Christ is essential for the Christian life. Christ is essential for fruit bearing. And without him, Greg, we cannot do nothing. We need Christ tonight. Christ is essential. Continuation is essential. Would y'all write that down? If you're to bear fruit, if you're to bring forth fruit, continuation in Christ is essential. Jesus iterated and reiterated the word abide. Abide, Scott, abide, abide, abide. Do you know what that means, Doug? It means remain. Stick. Stay. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord's not in vain. Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, as we engage in our relationship with him, abide in me, remain in my love, continue in my love, abide, remain, don't go anywhere, stay put. And as you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bring forth fruit. And that fruit will remain. And that will bring glory to my Father who is in heaven. How many's got just a little bit of listening left? I hope you got a little bit of listening, because I got a lot of preaching left. I want you to know that, number one, we're to continue through purging. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it. Taylor Barnes said this morning before he sung about a God who's always faithful. Sometimes it gets harder in the Christian life. We expect it to be easy. Rose beds. Flowers. bed of ease. Not so. Sometimes the greatest work my father's ever done in my life is when he put his hand on my life and said, son, I am going to take some stuff out of your life and it's going to hurt you. Do you know what I about did? I mean, I just about did this over and over and over again. God, if you don't change the way you're working in my life, I will quit. I cannot continue the way you're working in my life right now. He said, but Justin, that sounds weird. You're saying God was working in your life and you couldn't continue? Listen, have you ever been whooped by an earthly parent and said, boy, howdy, this is great. Thank you for doing it. Would you just keep on? I can't wait to get another one. It's awesome. Let me go get your belt, Dad. Mom, hey, I will go get that hickory. I'll get the big one. You'll love it. It's going to be great. Do you know, I'm going to say something to you. This is all jokes aside. I read statistics this week, Sister Lydia, that said that my generation, 48% of my generation that believes that God is God, the church is the church, and that Jesus Christ is good, believes that evangelism is non-essential. Do you know why they believe that, Bob? Because it's too confrontational. What right do you have to tell somebody else they need Jesus Christ? Well, see, I got a right. I got a Matthew, I got a Mark, I got a Luke, I got a John, I got an Acts, and I got a Jesus that talked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and in every one of those he told me to tell others what he does. I also got a testimony. I know what he's done for me. You like hunting, you talk about hunting. You like fishing, you talk about fishing. You like golf, you talk about golf. You like football, you talk about football. And when you love Jesus, guess who you talk about? Amen. Jesus. Isn't that all normal? But you know, I want you to hear me. At the first sign of trouble, my generation has become so soft and they're so catered to that they say, God, you are offending me. And I'm done with you because this hurts and the Christian life ain't supposed to hurt. How many of y'all with me? Some of you saying I ain't coming back, and you are proof to the very text that I'm reading. God would purge you. He would take away everything that is preventing you from bearing much fruit. But you won't abide if he does it. Abide in me. Me and my wife was driving down the road a couple of years back and she was reading off a list to me for why millennials don't go to church. And I want you to look at me. Not one of them was a good excuse. Not one of them. You said, Brother Justin, have you ever, when people talk to me about getting their feelings hurt in church as a reason for not coming to church, I'd like to say, be a pastor for a week, sir. Yeah, but you're a pastor. Yeah, that means I don't have feelings, right? How many of y'all with me? Oh, no. I'll tell you why I got up this morning. Doug, because 3 days after his death on the... 3 days after his death on the cross, death couldn't hold him, the grave couldn't corrupt, the gate couldn't keep him, corruption couldn't get on him. Christ got out of the grave. And I seem to think, if he can die for me, I can live for him. If he can raise for me, the just may fall 7 times, but he getteth up again. Yes, this life is full of bumps and bruises. This life is full of heartaches and hardships, but the Heavenly Father, our good husbandman, knows how to tend to his branches. And if we will abide in purging, we will bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Oh, I'm glad. I just want to testify and say, I've not fell off the wagon yet. I'm glad that through hardship and heartache and lean times and low times, when I felt like throwing up my hands and saying I can't go any further, somehow, by the grace of God, I humbled myself and said, God, if you'll simply help me, I will continue on. And God, touch me, and God, help me. And here I am this day, because the vine is sufficient for everything we have. If we will simply abide in Christ tonight. Continue through purging. Next, we need to continue in the Word. We need to continue in the Word. Notice what the Lord Jesus says in verse number 7. If you abide in me, and what's the next two words? My words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, Brother David, that's changing prayer life right there. Because God's saying, Christ is saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you just come to me and whatever you ask, I'm going to do it. Now, some of us in here saying right now, yes, if it's according to his will, look up here at me. If it's in his word, it's according to his will. If his words abide in you and you come into his presence in his word and his words in you, you're in his will. And when you pray in his name, he's going to answer because his word's his will. And I just want you to know tonight, we need to continue in the word of Christ tonight. I truly believe that the majority of ills that are found in our lives, the majority of ills that are found in the local New Testament church is because of an ignorance of the word of God. I don't mean to be mean, but I must be honest. The average American believer knows a few Christian slogans and a few Christian platitudes and enough to wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. But they can't tell the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, why the old one was formed and why the new one was formed. The Davidic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, they couldn't tell you about the law, the kingdom. They couldn't tell you about grace. They couldn't tell you about Christ. They could tell you a few things, but I just want you to know tonight, his word is perfect and it's pure from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books. God breathed his word. And tonight, if we're going to experience the life of the vine, we must abide in his word and his word abide in us. Continue in his word. You know what? We came preaching today is word. And if I'm right in my head and right in my heart, next Sunday, you know what we're going to be preaching? His word. You say, give us a soapbox chat. That's for soap and a box and a chat. This is preaching. Somebody say amen. Paul told Timothy when he was ready to be offered, son, I feel like preaching. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I want you to know it is the preaching of the cross that still rescues men and women's souls from the damnation of hell. It is the preaching of Christ. And tonight we need to abide in his word if we're to experience the life of Christ in the vine. Oh, branch, abide in him. Abide in his word. I had someone grab me this morning. Hold open their Bible reading chart and show me how far they got. They're so excited about it. Guess what? They should be. I love from week to week, I'll come in. Brother Steve will come in and we'll just indiscriminately start chatting about what we've been reading that week. And sometimes it's pretty wild because God don't hide anything in the Bible. Amen. It tells the good, the bad, and ugly of humanity. And there is a lot of bad and ugly of humanity. Amen? And so it's some pretty interesting conversations. But I want you to understand tonight that if we are to bring forth fruit that remains, much fruit that glorifies our Father in heaven, we will abide and we will continue in his word. How many believe this is true? Not only need to continue through purging and continue in his word, would you write this down? We need to continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. You say, oh, this is so simple and this is so surface. Yes, but can I ask you a question? When's the last time you got on your hands and knees before God in heaven and said, Lord, I need you. Here's my petition. And you got up and you knew it was answered before you ever got up. You say, you can't do that. Yes, you can. That is the relation, Brother John. That is the relationship, Brother Jonathan, that God in heaven is teaching us right here. You abide in me, I abide in you, my words abide in you. You ask whatsoever you will, verse number 7, and I will do it. If I got on my hands and knees, and I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the prayer closet, I don't know what I would do. And if it wasn't for a thorn of grace that I could routinely obtain mercy and grace and find grace to help in time of need, I don't know what I would do. And I just want to report to you tonight, glory be his name, every single time. I get on my hands and knees before God and I get in that real humble and contrite place and I just start pouring out my woes to him and start pouring out my praise to him and just say, Lord, you promised peace. Lord, you promised joy. Lord, you promised victory. Lord, you promised you'd answer. Lord, you said you'd give wisdom. Lord, you said you could do everything I can't do. And God, I believe every word you said. I believe you're true. I believe your word's true. I just want to tell you, I cannot write down with pen and paper everything I've seen God do to a simple prayer offered by a simple person to a God who's sovereign and can do anything. I want you to know tonight, continue in prayer. God still hears. God still answers. There's not a need he can't supply. There's not power he don't have. I'm telling you, as we seek his face, God will answer prayer. How many of you would like to get on your hands and knees and say, God, I need you, and him say, I'm right here. We had a little scare at the Gasway household today. Some run in and said, Daddy. She didn't have to holler 150 times to get me to hear. I went immediately to the need. Luke 11. And if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children. How much, I'm telling you. I probably got more to give than you want to get tonight. How much more shall your Father in heaven give good gifts unto you? I'm telling you. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights in whom there's neither variable nor shadow of turning. Tonight you said, Brother Justin, I'm kind of disappointed. I figured I'd be farther along in my life than I am now. I figured I'd be farther along in fruit bearing than I am now. I'm fixing to throw up my hands. Now I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of the word. I'm tired of the church. How will you know tonight? Christ said, I am the true vine. Every branch that abideth in me shall bring forth much fruit that will remain. Don't tuck tail and run. Abide. Continue in Jesus Christ. Tonight, continue through purging, continue in the word, continue in prayer. And this needs to be said in a Baptist church once every week. We need to continue in Christ's love. Write that down. Verse number 9. The Lord Jesus said, as a father hath loved me, so have I loved you. What's that next word in verse 9? Continue in my love. Can I ask you to do something for me tonight? Stop wearing your feelings on your sleeve. Start wearing your faith on your sleeve. And when your feeling says, that hurts, I don't like it, your faith says, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful. Wonderful. And bless my sweet Christian neighbor's heart. They ain't got a clue what they just did to me. So for my own soul's sake, I'll say they're ignorant and just keep on loving them. Somebody say amen. How many are with me? Ignorant means without, didn't know better, didn't. Okay, just making sure you didn't think I was being derogatory. What about, yeah. I know what that means in the South, by the way. What about those words, continue in my love? What about those words? How many of you want a pastor that wears his feelings on his sleeve? Listen to me carefully. I can be the man, and I've seen that man in their holy terrors. Because whatever they're ticked off about at that moment is what you're going to hear about when they get to the pulpit. When I get up and preach, I don't want to be given a defense. I don't want to be given a defense of my person and my marriage and my home. I want to be preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. Somebody's. I'm getting help all over again. Somebody say amen. Continue in my love. Do you know every single believer in here tonight, before you walk out of this room, should absolutely be in love with God and love your Christian neighbor and not even have a scintilla or a skosh or an iota of an ought against them. And I want you to know tonight, if you leave here with a scintilla or a skosh of ought against another believer, you are not right with God. I don't care what you think. Jesus said, continue ye in my love. This whole business, well, I just don't like them. I have read this book that don't work. Greg Haddock, and if the only drama you want in this church is the unfolding drama of Christ's redemption, we better learn how to take our feelings to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, let my faith trump my feelings. Somebody say amen. I can still remember the first time I was sat down behind my desk. My desk, my office, and I was put on the other side of my desk in my office. And they sat in my chair. I'm not really too big on all that stuff anyway. But I was really young at this point. So this was like crash course teaching. I'd done something that God didn't like. Somebody was joining the church. I thought people joining the church was a good thing. Thank you, Rowdy. Thank you, Rowdy. They just simply didn't like the process I did. And this guy set me down, and I mean excoriated me, right before church. Now, that's very clear delineation I want to make right here. You can tell me anything before church about needs and burdens. That never I want to hear them. If you got a burden or something troubling you, I can take that. That don't bother me. I am your pastor. I want to hear that. It helps me be real with you and for you. I know, just like me, all of us have problems and troubles and trials, and we need help from God Almighty. But if you are going to rake me over the coals, please wait till after church. Better time for that meeting, I promise you. You see, understand, Brother Steve, here's the thing. When we walked back out in that auditorium, he wasn't going to get behind the pulpit. I was. And so when he told me what I was going to do, I thought to myself, there's not really but one man I'm going to let tell me that direct what I'm going to do. I'm real good at listening to advice and counsel and suggestion and wisdom from other people. But when you say you're not going to do X, Y, Z in this fashion and it's biblical, come on, man. I looked at him and let him know, you know, at that moment, I said, this is how we're going to do it. Wasn't mean or confrontation. I walked out of that pulpit. You know, I had two options when I got behind the pulpit because I couldn't avoid the pulpit. Get up there and take it and use it wrong, or let God in heaven have his way. Even in this instant, I relate this to you. I want you to be sure that you know I'm not stroking my ego or pride, because as a man, I probably wanted to do what a man wanted to do, but God in heaven smote my heart and said, just remember, this is my church. And just remember, that man is my child. And just remember what you're here for. He said, well, Joe, I got behind the pulpit. I wept. I cried. I wept and cried. Shared a few more verses. Preached a little while. Wept and cried. We had a good time. He said, I bet you run that guy out of the church. Nope. We stayed together to the day he died. We went to church together. We labored together. We worked together. We served together. I can't tell you he always celebrated everything I did, but I can tell you this, he knew that we both loved the same God and we both loved the same church, and that little ills aren't bigger than a great Savior. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. People walk in our church and they constantly say this to me. What a loving church. Yes, absolutely. That won't stay that way unless we continue in his love. Amen. Abide. I want to bring forth fruit. Amen. Yes. Personally. Yes. I want my marriage, mine and Grace's marriage, to bring forth fruit. Our children to bring forth fruit. And you know what I want? I want our church to bring forth fruit. How many of you want to be a fruit-bearing believer? How many of you want to see our church bear fruit? Well, I believe if we'll abide in Christ, the true vine on His word, the source of fruit bearing, the sufficiency for it, and the surety of it, I'm convinced as we continue in His word, His love, prayer to Him, that we will bring forth fruit. Our fruit will remain. And Brother Larry, we'll have lived lives that glorified God in heaven. And all God's people said. Father, thank You for this time in Your word. Thank You so much for our people, for Your people, for this church, this time together. We need Your help so much, so mightily right now, on so many fronts and so many areas. We need wisdom so much. How are we to behave ourselves before You? How are we to behave ourselves among Your people? And then behave ourselves in our community. What You've begun is no doubt a good work. And we are convinced that You will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. Help us. Abide in You, that we may bring forth fruit that will remain and glorify You. Lord Jesus, I pray this in Your name, knowing that You hear, care, and will answer. It's in Your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.